There's so many good things happening at this new facility that of what God is doing. Those of you who, you know, who have been with us and you know the story and all of that, and know that we were graciously given a facility and about 6 acres on Green Meadows Road, given. Well, actually, that's not true. I paid $1 for it. We were so wonderfully blessed by the people called Cornerstone Baptist Church. And who does that? It's a God thing, isn't it? Wednesday of this week, where's Randy? Randy's still here? Okay. Well, I know he's here. Okay. So, oh, you're back here. Do I dare share your phone conversation this past Wednesday, or should I wait on that? So, Wednesday of this week, well, let me back up. A couple weeks ago, friends of the Quirks from their former church in St. Joe, Grace Evangelical Church, they started with about 60 or 70 people, something like that, meeting in a basement. This has been several years ago. And their church has steadily grown to where they now run 3 services of 700 on Sunday. They gave last year in 2016 somewhere to the in the amount of $300,000 to missions. And one of the couple, I did say $300,000 in missions, to missions. And one of the couples from their church was in town a couple of weeks ago to visit with Randy and Marilyn, spent the weekend with them, and I think maybe they were going through some stuff. I'm not privy to any of that, and that's just fine. Going through some stuff in some way. I'm not sure what was happening. But God, you remember the meeting we had a couple of weeks ago with the Kyle Hamilton picture, and he continues to wake up, and you remember what God did in here. I mean, it was just like he just, you know, we come looking for a bale or two, and we got the whole rack of hay that day. I mean, it was just one of those deals where it just seemed like heaven unzipped, so God powerfully moved with this on this couple, and before they departed Randy and Marilyn's house to go back to St. Joe, they wanted to show them the facility that we were wonderfully, graciously given. And God was still, I think, meeting with them. I'm probably embellishing a little bit of this. but she made a beeline, the wife made a beeline for their pastoral staff, one of whom... their associates, who is in charge of their administration, but more importantly, in charge of their missions efforts through this church. And they give $300,000, I think, something like that. I did say that, right? I just wanted to know if you were listening. Told this pastor of what we were trying to do and what had happened to us, and that we were just on the beginning stages. We have pretty much finalized the renovation plan. You know, what we have here, folks, is a facility that's this big, and we have, certainly we don't fill it, but we're getting there. And there are many groups, a group of 60 to 100 men that meet in here on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. For Bible study through TBA. And my friend Larry Glabe, David Job is a part, Paul Job's part of that. And Steve, that's right, goodness gracious. Steve Black is very much a part of that. And who? Oh, I'm not leaving Steve out. He's got a dog that'll bite. And no, his pesto is wonderful, though. Anyway, so, and then we, Fred Perry, some of you know that name, a good friend for years. Fred's a wonderful believer, has about 30 men that meet in the front space on Friday morning at 6 a.m. for Bible study, okay? And then the ladies' refit has just seen a quadrupling of their numbers on Monday night. College kids are coming, I think, from Columbia College and some other places, and they do the cardio dance stuff, and so there's about 25, 26, 30 or so of those ladies that that are meeting. I think there's a real revival that's happening at Mo Fitness with Patrick and O'Hara's fitness place. It seems like every week there's another new couple that I meet, and God seems to be doing some really good things, not just physically, but spiritually, amazing things. So there's a lot of amazing, so we're trying to figure out program, how to fit the program, our present program, in not a space this big, but a space this big. So we're having to kind of move some walls around and do some different things. And I think there's pretty exciting plans that are being planned. Our friend Jason Golden, architect, is drawing these plans. And we have so many who have said, I want to help. Well, on Wednesday afternoon of last week, this pastor who oversees their mission endeavors at Grace Evangelical in St. Joe called. They have a group. They do a lot of things. They give to our Black Sheep Harley-Davidson group here. It's part of their budget. They do a lot of things around the world. You remember when Joplin suffered the tremendous tornado and the destruction there, and it just looked like a bomb went off. When we visited, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. This church, Grace Evangelical, along with many other churches around the country, you know, mobilized their men and women in efforts of construction and renovation and evangelism, and they fed people. It was just amazing. All denominations, it was an amazing thing. You could hardly go any place where you didn't see this trailer from this group and this trailer from that group or this truck from this ministry and all that. So the pastor called Randy this past Wednesday, and Randy then relayed that as best he could. He called me, broke down, and cried. I started crying. I didn't even know what he was crying about, but I was crying. And he said that he said they want to send their team of 30 men. These are stonemasons and bricklayers and painters and plumbers and electricians to come and do the renovation of this place. And So I keep asking, who does this? God does. God does this. And, yeah, can you say amen? Or if you love Tarzan, Umgawa. That would be fun. So Randy and I are going to make a trip over there this Wednesday of this next week to meet with the pastors there and try to help kind of begin to outline some of the scope of the project. And then I don't know how that's going to shake out. I don't know how much they're going to do, but they're going to bring it. They've offered their big trailer, and they have a cooker in there, and they're going to say, don't worry about food. We'll cook for ourselves, and don't worry about places to stay, although there will be probably opportunities for us to house people. You know, count us. Yeah, sure, count us in. If we can do that, Sam easily did the renovation of our basement, and I mean, it just looks like amazing stuff. And so count us in for housing, somebody or more than one somebody's. But he said, we really don't need that. We'll be bringing cots as well. We'll just sleep in the church. And he said, I don't know, maybe we'll get this thing underway and throw a big old feed bag for the whole area there and kind of let people, who does this? So, that's right. So, also, about 3 weeks ago, we received, somebody put a $15,000 check in the offering, and I don't know who that, I don't know what anybody gives on purpose. But if you're here and you gave that, I want you to know how. Who does that? God does that. Our theme for overall theme or overarching theme has been forward in faith. In January, we looked at God's purpose, what he's wanting to do. And of course, in Genesis, you know these verses. I don't probably need to redo these. But in 1:28, he says, be fruitful and multiply. That was God's purpose from the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, it says that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. In other words, we want to see people come to Christ, to be like him, after his likeness, in his image. It's not just about numbers. It's not about a building. It's not about any of that stuff down at 20 Green Meadows. It's about people, isn't it? That's what it's about. That's his purpose, is that we are to try to advance his kingdom here on earth. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray that way? Come thy kingdom, be done thy will on earth as it has already come and been done in heaven. In other words, there's a fixed order in heaven to things. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And Jeremiah reminds us that his purposes are good. His plans are good. They're not evil. They're not to do evil to us, to bring harm to us. But they're good plans to give us what? A future and a hope. And so it's not just about this group here. It's about the group that lives outside these walls. It's about a mission field is out there. Right? It is. It's out there. And they did. They did. They were fruitful and they multiplied. For Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty. The Hebrew word translated in my translation for mighty literally means swarm. So you can imagine they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You know, they were swarming. A swarming group. And kind of begs the question, I think, okay, we're hail, hail, the gang's all here, now what? And of course, Moses' answer was, have no fear, Moses is here. Actually, it was, have no fear, I am here. Well, he was right. Because we learned in chapter 3 and verse 14 of Exodus that I am who I am. Was there to help them move forward in faith. And you remember, if you were here, the Hebrew word that is translated in Hebrew, Jews would not say Yahweh or God's name because they would say that any time you mention a person's name, it gives you control over that person. You know, like, it's like if I said Karen, and Karen would look at me, you know. John would look at me. And it's a kind of control. So they would never say the name of God, so they stuck the vowel points of Adonai into Yahweh, YHWH, and it produces the word Yehovah, or Jehovah, we would say. Same deal. Often the English word Lord in the Old Testament is a translation of the word Yahweh with vowels. Hebrew did not have vowels. It just was letters. And they stuck vowel points in it later on. And came up with what we find in Exodus 3:14 and other places. I am who I am is here. So Moses was somewhat right. Have no fear, I am here. I am who I am is here. So off Moses and Aaron go to tell Pharaoh. We find that in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And here is what he tells Pharaoh. Let my people go. Let them go. In other words, we're all here and it's time to go. We're moving forward. Gotta go. So he lets Pharaoh know that. And you have in chapter 5, you can read it if my message is dull. You can just read that and through and enjoy that. But you know what happened. You tell me, you get better or worser? Yeah, worser. Big stink. Big stink is raised. And we find in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 21, they said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious. What's in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of the servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us? You know what happened? The work got heavier and they got to make the same bricks, with the same amount of straw. But now instead of the Egyptians gathering the straw, the Israelites have to go gather the straw now, and they still have the same quota of bricks and all of this stuff. It got worser. Okay, big stink. Whenever Moses, just trying to be obedient, God told me, I am who I am is here, which means I am with you and I can make things happen. In that little Hebrew word, there are two little, there's a stem there, and one of the parts of that word for Yahweh means that I am here. He's present. He's the ever-present one. But the other part of that stem has to do with not only am I here, but I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to make it happen, okay? Listen, folks, are you listening? If for us, let us remind one another, I am who I am is here. He's with us. He's not just with us, but through the Holy Spirit and what God has done in Christ in the New Testament. What we sang about, that wonderful confession of faith that Ken led us in. I love that song. I believe in this and I believe in that. I believe in that too. Oh, yeah, I believe in that too. And, it's what a amazing. Let us remind one another that as we move forward in faith to a new piece of property, summer, fall-ish, something like that. It just depends on how much we can do and what we can afford to do and all that stuff. But God reminds me, I am with you. I am not just with you, but I am in you. And I'm going to make it happen. I am going to make it happen. What? A new building and all that? No. What I'm going to make happen is you're going to be fruitful and you're going to multiply. And you're going to become exceedingly great. You're going to swarm. And it's not so that we can build a bigger barn. It's so that we can plant more churches. More churches. More people come to Christ. Don't you want that? I want that. I do. I want that. So old Moses raised a big stink. My Bible says odious. What does your translation say of Exodus 5:21? Stench? Stench, yeah. That's really what it's same thing. Yeah. That's what it says. You stink. Now I'm just reminded that, sometimes decisions that people make, especially leaders, it kind of raises a stink, doesn't it? I don't want to go anywhere with this, but I'm just saying, it's just the decisions that leaders make sometimes raises a big stink. So Moses has already pretty much stepped in it, and so he raises a bigger stink before God by revisiting a stinking, old, worn-out objection that he's given before, and we find it in Exodus 5, 22 and 23. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, what? Now, get the right emphasis on the right syllable here, okay? Oh, Lord, why have you? Say that with me. You. Oh, no, I mean, I say it like you're ticked off.
You.
Yeah, well, me? No. Okay. Oh, Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you? Come on now. You're ticked off. You're Moses. Ever send me. Moses has got a real issue here. You know, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? You know, I bet old God was thinking, yeah, I've kind of been wondering about that too. Been kind of been asking those same kinds of questions, you know. Verse 23, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. The old Moses is making pretty serious accusation here of I am who I am, the one who is with him, the one we know to be in us, and the one who makes things happen. Are you listening? Do you get the feeling, like I better hurry up through this message, do you get the feeling that this is kind of a can you hear me now moment? Remember that commercial? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Thought I just started turning it off because I got tired of hearing the guy say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Must be music to your ears though, David. Sells hearing aids. I'd say it's time to move forward in faith, Moses. And so in the month of February, we're going to be looking at God's provision. And simply put, this morning and throughout the process of the Exodus, God's provision is himself. He's given himself. He says, you got me. I'm giving myself to you. I will be with you. And I'm going to make it happen. How do I know that? Because in chapter 6, and actually the broader passage here, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do. If that's not a... Watch this. I don't know what it is. And so we're told in chapter 6 and verse 2, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, reminding him again, I am who I am. In mine it says, I am the Lord. And in chapter 6 and verse 6, say therefore to the sons of Israel, here it is again, Jehovah or Lord, I am the Lord. And look at the stack polling of what he's about to make happen. He said, I'm with you, I'm the Lord. And he says, now I'm about to, you watch this. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That had to be good news to them, as you shall see. And I will deliver you from their bondage. That's good news. And I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Now they had no clue what was about to happen. But it's not important. Are you with me? It's not important. It's only important, folks, that we understand I am who I am. That he is with us. He's in us. And he's going to make things happen. So I want to say, yo, it's hip talk. Yo. Sons of Israel, Moses and Pharaoh, are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm about to do? But first, I want to ask the question of God. If you're taking notes, are you listening, God? Here's the answer. Yep. Because the writer of Exodus says in verse 5 of chapter 6, "Furthermore, I have heard," this is God speaking, "I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." His covenant that we are told about in Genesis and chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. Let's just revisit that. "Now the Lord said to Abram," verse 1, "go forth from your country and from your relatives, from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Here it is, verses 2 and 3. "And I will make you a great nation." But here's what I want you to pay attention to. "And I will bless you and make your name great." Why? Read it. What's it say? Why? Is it up here? No. "So that you will be a blessing." That's why God wants to bless us. That's why he wants to make things happen in us and all around us, so that we can be a blessing. It's not so that we can walk around like we're, you know, some kind of religious fat cats and say, "Wow, looky here. Look what kind of building we got. We got a big building over here." No. It has nothing to do with that. It's not even, look how, you know, when preachers get together, here's what, they talk funny. I don't even like to hang around with them, but they talk funny. You know, give me some good old sinners, man. I'm just what I'm saying. So that's why I like to hang around you all. Anyway, so, and that's why you like to hang around me, right? There you go. Can I get a witness? Yeah, there you go. Or Umgawa. Okay. So, you know, because they use funny language. "Hey, man, how many did you run?" What? How many did you run? Your attendance. How many did you run Sunday? I mean, that made you run Sunday, you know? And, or they say, mostly preachers say, "Hey, Jeet yet?" No, that's, I say, let's squeak. Let's squeak. Right, so they talk funny, all right? They got funny words they use. And not around here. We try to just talk real and normal, like type, sometimes a little too real and normal. But, yeah, Umgawa. There you go. So the reason why he is wanting to bless us is so that we might be a blessing to others. Okay? So that we want what God has done for us to for him to do that for others. Right? Yeah. Is that an amen or an Umgawa? I mean, you tell me. Help me out here. I mean, I want to see what's happened to me happen to others. I do. Am I what I ought to be? No, but I sure am not what I used to be. God's done something in me. And I want to see that happen to everyone, everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. His eyes are looking to and fro, First Chronicles 16:9 says, looking to and fro throughout all the earth, seeking someone whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Don't pay no attention to the stuff that's on the floor, okay? And he says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So he's blessing us. That's the covenant. That's the covenant that he has put upon us. And, you know, I think really to be a blessing, I think there's a requirement. And that requirement is that we would walk, be holy people. We would be separated unto him. Actually, the word covenant, the root of it literally means to cut or to cut away from. And you remember this. I mean, we used to do this I'm going to get rid of this stuff here. I hope I don't need any of that stuff. if you watch the old westerns and stuff, when the Indians and the cowboys, you know, they would, you remember that, right? Indians and cowboys. Okay, most of you, ask your parents or grandparents, all right? So, and what they would do is, you know, the Indian would take a knife and he'd whoosh, like this in one hand, and then the cowboy or whoever would take it and whoosh, like this, and what would they do? They would do like that, you know, like their blood mixes and stuff, okay? It really didn't happen, but they would do that. And what did that signify? Blood brothers, and what? But tell me what that means. Describe it for me. It was a pact. It was an agreement. It was saying, look, you know, I'm with you, you're with me, and, you know, yeah, we're family. We're family. We're not going to mess with each other, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless me, and, you know, and all that kind of, that's what that means. And so that's what it means to have a covenant, is to have a covenant, okay? Actually, let me, God, you got to get on with this. And actually, the sign of the covenant for Abraham was what? I know this is going to be tough. Everybody just take a deep breath here, okay? Is what was what? Circumcision. Hey, let's talk about some circumcision. A little circumcision here. Let's just talk about that. So, you know, and guess what? The word circumcise, I think it's really funny. Circumciser, do you know what that is translated in Hebrew? Father-in-law. Oh, there's a message for you. That's right. So, anyway, the word, the root of the word to circumcise literally means to cut away. To cut. Are you with me on this thing? It means to cut. I don't need these glasses right now. It means to. So they're kind of one in this. I know. Okay, everybody, just cool. We got some medical folks that are back there, and I can. They've kind of got some kind of thing going on back there. So just work with me on this. All right. So. And so in Deuteronomy, you know, the physical significance of circumcision was to, it was done, it was a procedure, a process to prevent illness or disease and therefore to promote health, okay? That was the purpose of circumcision, still is. So, like I know. Anyway, well, I guess I do. Never mind. Okay. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you just keep walking, right? Okay, let me keep walking here. So that's the physical significance. The spiritual significance, because the writer of Deuteronomy says somewhere that, you know, we're to circumcise our hearts. Paul later on in Romans 2, I think around verse 28, 20, somewhere in chapter 2, I know that. He speaks of a circumcision of the heart. Jeremiah talks about, later in Exodus chapter 6, actually. I think it's around verse 12 or somewhere around in there. It's not a verse I don't think we're going to use, but he speaks of the fact that Moses, it's one of his objections. You know, I'm unskilled in speech. It's the word uncircumcised. That's literally the Hebrew word is uncircumcised. You know, it sounds a little bizarre to say that, but what he's saying is this. And then later on, Jeremiah talks about our ears and lips and also heart being circumcised. And what he means is this. Get rid of all the junk. Get rid of the stuff that's going to kill you, that's going to keep you from coming into covenant with me. Are you with me on this? Okay, it's kind of the same. It's just kind of an interesting, I know I've lost the, a lot of you. So covenant, his covenant, critical, and his requirements are critical. That's why in Psalm 84, we may have a slide on that, I don't know. That's why in Psalm 84 and verses 11 and 12, the psalmist says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk how? Uprightly. In other words, who are separated, who are clean, who are cleaned up. Okay? Those are the people whom God comes into covenant with. That our God, and how did he do that? When did God do this? Come on, work with me, folks. Well, yeah, but who got this done to him? And who got this done to him? And who got that done to him? And who got the thorn crown placed on their head? Jesus. We don't do what we do for the applause or the pat on the back of men. We do it for the nail-scarred hands, for the hands that have gone like this, and we go like this, and we put them together. That's what we do. It's this. So I'm saying, are you listening, God? And God says, yep, that's what I've done. That's what I've done. It's just amazing when I think about that. That's what he's done. I really believe God desires to give us everything, even though we don't deserve anything. That's what grace is. It's that God has done for us through Jesus that which we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves. What grace? John 1:16 says, for of his fullness we've all received grace upon grace upon grace. He just keeps piling it on. Are you listening? All right, very quickly. I want to ask that question of the sons of Israel. Are you listening? Nope. Chapter 6 and verse 9. So I'm going to race through this, so you're going to have to listen fast. So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of what? Mine says despondency and cruel bondage. What do your translations say?
Broken spirit.
That's really an excellent translation.
Discouragement.
What does yours say? Discouragement and cruel bondage. Literally, in Hebrew, it literally means shortness of breath. Now, I want to just say this, that George Strait, country guy, singer, dude, had a song, the line, I never will forget this. Life's not the breath you take, but the moments that take your breath away. It's a powerful song. And he speaks of those moments that are good moments. And there are good moments when you witness the birth of your child. When little Bo was just born, and I was there, that was within the 24 hours. And there Drew was. He smiles anyhow, but he and Jules, they just light up a room whenever they walk in, but he was just all smiles. And I walked over to the bedside there Julie Ann was, and she was holding little Bo. And she just, you know, she just took that baby and she put that baby in my arms, and I just took my breath away. So there are moments, good moments, that cause us to have shortness of breath, but then there are the cruel bondage moments, a bondage that had produced an anguish and an inward pressure that took their breath away. It's what it says. They could not listen because of a shortness of breath, these sons of Israel. Has that ever happened to you? Difficult things? Whitney, I know that that's happened to you with Kyle. For example, when the doctor diagnoses that nagging ache as a much more serious illness. Like what happened to our pastor, Andy Oath, on Friday evening of this past week. That's what I want to say about that, other than I want you to be praying for Andy as more things come to light in the next week. Now, some of your minds are going crazy with this right now. And I asked Andy, I said, Andy, can I share with the church? And he said, not yet. So you just leave that alone and don't let your mind's already gone there. So here's the deal. Pray to the I am who I am, who is with us and with him and in him. And listen to me. And can make things happen. That's all you need to know. See, you get focused on the cruel bondage and you won't be able to listen. Are you with me? Or the sudden unexpected job loss. Or the sudden out of nowhere crash when you're rear-ended by a speeding car. Or the sudden, I want a divorce. And you find yourself with a shortness of breath, resulting in doubt and unbelief. Are you listening? I want to ask that question very quickly of Moses. Are you listening? I'm sorry to say the answer is nope. Chapter 6 and verse 12 says, but Moses spoke before the Lord saying, behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. Wah, 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 wah. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? Wah, 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 wah. For I am unskilled in speech. This is what he said. I'm uncircumcised in my lips. So old Moses revisits an old worn out objection, stinking old excuse. You got one? You got an excuse? Why you're not moving forward in faith? Oh, the excuses that we give. When I am who I am promises that he'll be with you and he's going to make it happen. And you know I've given you this definition before. Excuses are nothing more than the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That's all an excuse is. And yet Romans chapter 1 and verse, where is Romans? See my friend Les Castle back here. Is that in the New Testament, Les? Yes, thank you. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. You know who they modifies? That'd be us. We have no excuse. So quit it. Quit giving excuses. That's all Moses was doing. He was revisiting an old worn-out excuse and therefore couldn't move forward in faith. It resulted in doubt and unbelief. Are you listening? Pharaoh? Nope. Chapter 7 and verse 4 says, when Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my host. Who's talking here? Yeah, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. Didn't he already say that that's what he was going to do? Kenny, come on up. That'll signal to everybody that I'm finishing. And if you look through the plagues, the 10 plagues that follow, here's what you'll see. you'll see things like this. And he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. And he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Chapter 7, verse 22. And did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Chapter 8 and verse 15. Chapter 8 and verse 19. And he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. And then on in verse 32 of chapter 8, and did not let them go. Why? Because he wasn't listening to the Lord. And then in verse chapter 9 and verse 7, and he did not let the people go. Why? Because he wasn't listening. He just wasn't listening. He was hearing all right, but he just wasn't listening. And then chapter 9 and verse 12, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. That's what happens when we don't listen to the Lord. We forget his wonderful promise provision that he is with us, and not just with us, but as New Testament believers, he's in us. His Holy Spirit has been put in here. And not only that, it's a reminder that he's with us, but it's also this: I'm about to make things happen for you. I don't know what that looks like for you. Does that mean the diagnosis goes away? Maybe not. But he's still with you, and he's making things happen. Are you with me on this? Does that mean that you never lose your job? No, it doesn't mean that. But it always means he's with you, and he's about to make things happen. And that's what we have to listen to, not the other stuff, the cruel bondage, the you know, all of that stuff. Why did he not listen? Pharaoh, he thought the universe revolved around him. That he was God. When the whole point of all of these things, and again, you can read through the plagues and you will find with me in chapter 7 and verse 5, shall know I am the Lord. This is the point. Chapter 7 and verse 17, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. And it's the term Yahweh or Jehovah or Jehovah. It means that he is with you and he's about to make things happen. And then in chapter 8 and verse 10, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. Yeah, you got that right. And then in verse 22, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. No kidding. And then in chapter 9 and verse 14, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. In order to show, verse 16, you, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. That's the whole point. That once again is a revisiting of the purpose of why we are and who we are and what we're to be about. It's to be fruitful and multiply according to his likeness and to be made after his image. And he's with us, and he's going to make it happen. All he wants us to do is to listen and to trust him. Listen, just trust him. Listen and trust him. Listen and trust him. Are you listening? Dearest church, so my wife and I, you can put your Bibles up. So my wife and I were on our way home about 2 months ago. We like to drive through the, you know, county roads and stuff like that. And I said, this conversation went sort of like this. I said, man, I'm hungry for party mix. Are we going to have some of that today, this being some kind of a special sporting thing day? So I said, kind of like that, I said, boy, I'm kind of hungry for some party mix. And she said, yeah, me too. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Bellflower. Anybody ever been to Bellflower? Not that big. It didn't even have one horse. And no stop sign, nothing. You just go through very slowly. No, well, you better not be doing that because there's a guy there that's got something else blinking. And So I said, well, you know, we're getting close to Montgomery City. Been to Montgomery City? There's a grocery, actually kind of a nice grocery store in the northern part of Montgomery City. And And I said, you know, I bet we can find, you know, you need, what do you need? Help me out. Checks, a different check, cereals. Need three different checks mixes. What else? Pretzels. Peanuts. Yeah. Some people, what? Now, raisins. Who, what? I'm not coming to your, don't serve me any party mix. I don't want no raisins. I know that's it. Yeah.
Don't put them in.
Don't put them in. That's right. Yeah, that's simple, isn't it? So, anyway, and you need seasoning mix. So we got to the store. We got all the different things, all those ingredients, and we said, okay. Sally says, I know where the seasoning mix is. And so it's where it should be when we're at our stores that we shop at. And so we're looking at the... should be right here. And wasn't long before there was a checker or someone who works there kind of came up and said, hey, can we help you find something? Well, yeah, we're kind of looking for some party mix, seasoning mix. And she said, oh, well, I know where that is. It's just right here. And we're sitting there looking at it. And I'm thinking, you know, we got like 5 or 6 earned degrees between us. I think we know where, you know, what we're looking for here. So anyway, so we're, you know, looking, she's looking and she's looking at it, and she's, you know, she's kind of going at it. Before long, another checker comes. Before it's over with, we had about 8 workers there. I whispered, what did I say to you? I said, man, if I was going to rob this place, right now would be the time to do it. There ain't anybody up there. I could hammer the, you know, there are no checkers. There's nothing, you know. And there had about 6 or 8 people there, and they were all looking around and said, yeah, I know it's right here. And then there was this, I'd say 90-something sweet little grandma. She was kind of watching all this stuff happen. I'm telling the truth when I tell you my hand up. And so here, to get the picture. It's got all 6 or 8 people, and they're all kind of, yeah, I know it's here somewhere. And then the sweet little grandma, and I'm here, and Sally's here. And we're just kind of watching all this play out. And then one of them says, start the music. And then one of them says, I bet I know where it is. It's over at such and such place. I've seen it there. So she departs. It wasn't 1 or 2 minutes after that, another checker, honest to God, said almost word for word the same thing. You know what? I bet I know where it is. It's over at such and such place, and I'm going to go over there. And I looked at this 90-year-old woman, and I said, Did you just hear someone say that, and then she went ahead and said the same thing? Was she not hearing? And here's what God said to me through this little 90-year-old woman. Oh, she was hearing. She just wasn't listening. So, church, are you listening? We read this stuff all the time about I am who I am. He's with me. He'll make it happen. You hear sermons, one that's a little longer than it should have been. But you hear this stuff all the time. And then when cruel bondage comes, or this comes, or that comes, or difficulty at work, or jobs, or your kids, or, you know, cruel bondage, you know. We don't listen. He just said, I am who I am. I am with you. And now you're in me. And I'm going to make it happen. We're just not listening. Oh, dearest church, are you listening? Let's listen. Let's get this stuff down deep in us, of who God is and what he wants to do to accomplish his purpose. And he's promised the provision of his person, of himself. Me, he says. So while Ken plays, I want you to do what that says on the screen. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Oh, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Who does this? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, will I make known thy faithfulness.
Thy faithfulness.
Say that again.
Thy faithfulness.
Oh, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. I am who I am. Are you listening? Let's sing now. I will sing. You know it.
I will sing of the mercies
of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Go ahead and tag it if you would, Ken.
I will sing of the mercies of the
Lord. Yeah, tag that again. We want to listen.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Yeah. Lord God, we give you thanks that you were, still are, and always will be. I am who I am. You're in us, Lord. Thank you, God. And you're making things happen. Yes, Lord, as Andy's church is one of our pastors, God, I pray for him. I say, God, pour out your healing upon him. Give them wisdom to know the way forward, especially this week as they meet Tuesday with more doctors. And God, would you, by way of your Holy Spirit, now just go to him. Holy Spirit, just go to Andy. Fall fresh upon him right now. I know he's involved in a wonderful worship service there in Marshall, and as they celebrate his Grandma Jane's retirement, it's a surprise. God, don't let anything dampen any of that, because Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, remind him right now, Lord, remind him, I am who I am. I am with you, I am in you, and I'm going to make it happen. I ask you, God, to do that. And do that for Kevin and Barb, for Kim, for the kids. And we look forward to him being with us this next Sunday. And God is best I know how, I'm going to purpose, and I pray this over this church, that we will purpose to remind Andy that you are in him. You're with him. Every step of the way, whatever the steps are, and you're making it happen. You got this. You got this. You got this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I really went long again, so get your kids quick before we have mass exodus back there. And then join us at Holiday Inn East as we put four people under till they bubble. That's what baptism means in the Greek. God bless you guys. Make sure you say hey to somebody here you don't know. And see you at the Holiday Inn, and go Patriots. So. Ha ha!